In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith, lesson number 56, The Bishop of Rome. We have an image of the Pope in his, gestatoria, the papal chair there, being carried out. We see, I think, Swiss guards and bishops, clerics all around. And the caption says, "It is Christ's will that we should reverence his ministers as himself. This is why Catholics pay the greatest reverence to Christ's vicar, the Pope, their universal father. On this account, the title, quote, His Holiness, is given him. Out of respect for his office, the Holy Father is given privileges not granted to other bishops. As a temporal sovereign, he has a court and guards. He has a standard and seal. He has ambassadors. On solemn occasions, he is carried in the papal chair called the sedia gestatoria." First question, did Christ intend that the special powers of chief teacher and ruler of the entire church should be exercised by Peter alone. Christ did not intend that the special power of chief teacher and ruler of the entire church should be exercised by Peter alone, but intended that this power should be passed down to his successor, the Pope, Bishop of Rome, who is the vicar of Christ on earth and the visible head of the church. Saint Peter lived for a short time at Antioch. Then he went to Rome and there fixed his official residence permanently. It was there and as Bishop of Rome that he died as a martyr some 20 years later. The church was not to die with Peter. Therefore, his official rank and dignity and powers were to be handed on to his successors from generation to generation. In the same way, successors to a civil office acquire all the powers attached to the office. Thus, the Bishop of Rome, the lawful successor of St. Peter, is what Peter was, vicar of Christ and visible head of the church. Christ is the true and invisible head of the church, but its visible head is the Bishop of Rome, our Holy Father the Pope, because he is the successor of St. Peter. Okay, I just want to point out there's one very important word in that first sentence here. Thus, the Bishop of Rome, the lawful successor of St. Peter. Okay, so we're making a distinction. There are unlawful people claiming that title that we must reject. All right, I will continue on. Perhaps we'll come back to that a little bit later. No one but the Bishop of Rome has ever claimed supreme authority over the whole church. Therefore, either he is St. Peter's successor, or St. Peter has no successor, and the promise of Christ had failed. The supremacy of the Bishop of Rome over all Christendom has been disputed because of the perversity of men and the power of evil. It has been denied by unruly sons. The very fact that it was disputed shows that it existed. In the same way, even the authority of God himself has been questioned. His very existence has been denied. From the beginning, too, parental authority has been defied. The authority of lawful rulers has ever been attacked. The denials, defiance, and attacks have not destroyed the existence of such authority. Does God die because men deny his existence? The fool says in his heart, "There is no God," from Psalm 52. Has the Bishop of Rome always been looked upon as the head of the church? Yes, the Bishop of Rome has from apostolic times been looked upon as the universal head of the church. From earliest times, the titles High Priest and Bishop of Bishops have been given to the Bishop of Rome. Appeals were made to him, and disputes were settled by him. The third successor of St. Peter was Pope St. Clement. A dispute in the church at Corinth was referred to him for decision. He wrote letters of remonstrance and admonition to the Corinthians, and they submitted to his correction. At that time, very near Corinth, the Apostle John was still living. Why did the Corinthians, instead of appealing to faraway Rome and Clement, not refer their troubles to the Apostle John, Bishop of Ephesus? Evidently because Rome's authority was universal, while that of Ephesus was local. So they went to the successor of St. Peter rather than to one of the original apostles. So from the early days of the church, they were recognizing that the successor of St. Peter has a higher position in the church than even the original 12 apostles. So there were numerous cases of appeal throughout long history of the church. All were referred to Rome. In the 5th century, when Theodoret, Bishop of Cyrus in the East, was deposed, he appealed to Pope Leo, and the Pope ordered him reinstated. The Pope was everywhere recognized as head of the Church, not only in the West, but in the East, up to the Great Schism of the 9th century. Okay, so last week we looked at the Eastern Rites, and that is, I think, when they broke away was in the 9th century. With one voice, the fathers of the church pay homage to the Bishop of Rome as their superior. All of them recognize the Pope as supreme head. St. Ambrose said in the 4th century, "Where Peter is, there is the church." General councils were not held without the presence of the Bishop of Rome or his representative. No council was accepted as universal or general unless its acts received the approval of the Bishop of Rome. At the Council of Chalcedon in the year 451, the Pope's letter was read to the assemblage of bishops, and they cried with one voice, "Peter has spoken by Leo. Let him be anathema who believes otherwise." As late as the year 1439, in the Council of Florence, the Greeks who wished to return to the church acknowledged the primacy of the Bishop of Rome, the Pope. Okay, so from the 9th century to the 15th century, we have the Greeks in schism. Then when they wanted to return, it's required that they acknowledge the primacy of the Bishop of Rome. Every nation converted from paganism has received the faith from missionaries specially sent by the Pope, or by bishops acknowledging the Pope as their head. St. Patrick was sent by Pope Celestine to Ireland. St. Palladius was sent by the same Pope to Scotland. St. Augustine was sent by Pope Gregory to England. St. Remigius went to France under the protection of the See of Rome. St. Boniface was sent by Pope Gregory II to Germany and Bavaria, and so on. The Pope is the highest visible authority in the Church, but it is Christ who is the invisible head. The Pope is just his vicar or his visible representative. So Christ is still the head of the Church, and I think many forget that, or we quickly overlook that, and we think the Pope is the head of the Church. No, the Pope is Christ's vicar. He is the visible representative of Christ, but Christ himself is the head of the church, and the church is under the guidance of the Holy Ghost, who operates through a valid or a lawful pope. Okay. We'll continue here. We have some pontifical decorations. The Holy See confers various titles, orders, decorations, and other honors on certain persons, usually lay people, who in some special manner have distinguished themselves in furthering the well-being of humanity and of the Church. They are listed here in the order of importance. The Supreme Order of Christ was started by Pope John XXII in 1319. Today it is the Supreme Pontifical Order of Knighthood, conferred only on very rare occasions. Next, we have the order of the golden spur, follows the order of Christ as a pontifical decoration. It has one class of 100 knights and is awarded only to those who have furthered the cause of the Church by outstanding deeds. It is bestowed also to non-Catholics. There's several of these that can be bestowed to non-Catholics, and I want to remind everyone that these are pontifical decorations. These are not sacraments or sacramentals. These are just honorary awards, you might say, that are given to people. And I think it is more in the Pope's, what is it called, where his secular rule as a secular king or secular ruler over Rome, over the papal states. So he is ruling as a king in the secular order in these, and so he can grant these. So I don't know if it's necessary to make that distinction between the Pope as the head of the Church and the Pope as the head of the papal estates. But I believe that non-Catholics perform secular things that are worthy to be acknowledged and to be awarded, and that's why we have these papal decorations available also to non-Catholics. Okay, next, we have the Order of Pius IX has three classes, Knights of the Grand Cross, Commanders, and Knights. It is awarded also to non-Catholics. So I ask basically if you just consider those titles, Knights of the Grand Cross, Commanders, and Knights. We look at Knights as a secular institution at the Knights Act and the behest of the King. Next, we have the Order of St. Gregory the Great, was founded by Pope Gregory the 16th in 1831. It has two divisions, civil and military, each of which is divided into three classes, Knights of the Grand Cross, Commanders, and Knights. Okay, so we have civil decorations and we have military decorations awarded by the Pope. We have the Order of St. Sylvester, instituted in 1841. Like the Order of St. Gregory, has three classes of knights. Next, we have the Order of the Holy Sepulchre, is considered one of the oldest of pontifical honors. It is today highly prized in Europe. It has been bestowed on kings and nobles, on heads of republics, on persons outstanding in arts, letters, and sciences, on those who in special manner have served the Church. Unlike other orders, this is bestowed besides on clerics and women. Right, so priests generally are not able to receive these awards, nor women, but the Order of the Holy Sepulchre is open to both. The Medal Pro Ecclesia et Pontifice was instituted by Leo XIII, that great Pope of the working man, in 1888. It is awarded in recognition of special services to the Church and the Pope. The Benemerenti Medal was instituted in 1832 by Gregory XVI of two classes, civil and military, in recognition of outstanding daring or courage. And that ends this lesson on the Bishop of Rome. And obviously, in the state of Sede Vacantis, we are not against the papacy, we are not against the Pope, we are simply saying that the man presenting himself in Rome as the Pope is not a Pope. We still pray daily for the papacy, how it can be restored, if it's going to be restored. I don't profess to know or have any insight into that, but we must trust in God's providence, and with Job, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. We've been a long time without a Pope. How it can possibly be returned, I can see really no natural means of restoring the papacy. But I am not God, and all things are possible with God. Do we have any questions or comments?
Under the image there, severe
gestatoria.
So it would be the first word would be seat.
Yes.
Is the second word like a guest or a?
I don't know. It says papal chair, so I'm not sure what the gestatoria is, other than papal, the highest honor, maybe. I don't know.
Okay. I was just curious. It's an interesting word.
Yes. I'm not sure what... I'm tending to think it might be Italian. I don't know. Doesn't look familiar to me as a Latin word.
Okay.
But I do not know. I don't claim to know all the Latin words either. Well then, nothing else, we can end with our prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Act of resignation to the divine will. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.